here. My job overseas has finished, so I'm in the ranks of the unemployed at the moment. While I was in Nepal, it was a combination of working for a crust and ministry work, and wherever God places us, there's always ministry to do. So we look forward to seeing what door God opens for us next. But what a time to come back to Cairns. It's Christmas time. Hallelujah. Amen. And thank you to the music team. That's just wonderful. Praise and worship in our own language. Well, English for me and maybe a different language for some of you. But while I was in Nepal, I'd be sort of just praying while there was Nepali songs going on. And some of the songs have been translated from English into Nepali. And I was thinking, I know that tune. I know that song. They'd get the Google out, get the words, and I'm singing along in English with them. So it's quite interesting being overseas. But home is home. It always is. So, you know, you've all heard of the Machine Gun Preacher. He was in Cairns a few months ago, I believe. And I was on HBO watching the movie again a few months ago at the same time that he was here. Well, I'm not the Machine Gun Preacher. I don't have a machine gun. This is my machine gun. Well, actually, it's a sword. More of a sword. A two-edged sword. If you read in Ephesians chapter 6, that's where it tells you. The armor of God. The sword of the Spirit. And in Revelation, the two-edged sword. Yeah, travel around. Picture of my wife wherever I go. Yep. Had to catch her. She fell down there. She will be here shortly. She's been working till 6:30, so changing, then coming here. But if I was going to be nicknamed anything, if you see my antics on Facebook, you're driving cars and riding motorbikes, you'd probably know that I'm the faster pastor. Yeah? Not the machine gun preacher, but the faster pastor. So when I'm speaking, I have to slow down. So if I start speaking too fast, just go slow down, Tim, slow down. When I'm preaching overseas, I have to control myself. You know, I'm feeling lonely here. I haven't got a translator at the moment. Usually I've got the translator that will sort of say, hey, what, pardon, and that just controls me a little bit. So I have to make allowances that I may lose the thread of what I'm speaking. I haven't got anybody to help me, control me. I'm just all on my own up here, me and the Holy Spirit, I hope. Amen. Amen. So we have our two-edged sword here. We go to our first verse. It's always good to start off with a Bible verse, no matter where we're going through the sermon. So 2 Timothy 3:16. We got it up there? No? Not yet, but it's coming. Okay, so all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So it's all Scripture, all of it is God-breathed, and it's to fully equip us for what God wants us to do. Amen? And you're thinking, where's he going with this? Well, this is just the introduction. The main part of my introduction Pastor Joe took this morning, so I think he looked at my notes and sneaks a copy, but it's really good because it actually shows we're in the same spirit. Because yes, it is Christmas time, and we want to link our messages with Christmas, and what better way than Joe this morning? You know, what is Christmas actually about? Well, it's God's plan for redemption. Christmas is part of God's plan. Right from the very beginning at Genesis, when there was the fall of man, God had an immediate plan. And we read about that this morning in Genesis 3, verses 14 to 15. And Christmas has to be there because without Christmas, as Joe rightly said, there could not be an Easter. If there was no crucifixion, there could be no salvation because we would not have had the resurrection. So we have the redemption of man because of Christmas, because of Good Friday, because of the resurrection at Easter. Amen. For the whole of mankind, all over the world, God has this wonderful plan, and we're celebrating part of it over these few days. Some people, it's a one-day event. For some people, it's like a one-month event. But we're celebrating Christmas nonetheless, however we do it. And that's not the end of God's plan, as I just taught. We've got the redemption, but it goes on into Revelation. Jesus is coming back again. Hallelujah. Yeah? So that's God's plan for the redemption, and Christmas is a key part of that. Okay. So you're thinking, where's my part in that? That's all good. That's the plan for mankind. But as we saw in the title, God's vision and plan for your life, for my life, every one of us here. God has a plan for you. I've just said that my job in Nepal is finished. I'm in the ranks of the unemployed. So today, as much as preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. What's God's plan for my life? Who knows what God has got in store for them? Has anybody got a real good handle on God's plan for their life? Joe? A little bit. Joe? A little bit. Has anybody got a real full handle on what God has got for them in their lives? No? We hear a lot of preaching about submitting to God, being obedient to God, but very little about, well, what am I being obedient to? What am I submitting to? Yes, we're submitting to the Word of God, God's authority, and how He teaches us. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. And that's a simple thing to do. But then we're also called to make disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But what's my role in that? How do I do that? What do I do? You know, sort of, I know God wants me to do something. So in this message today, hopefully we can unfold a little bit of how God will talk to you and reveal to you what God's plan is for your life. No one can tell you what that plan is. You have to hear from God, the Father, the Holy Spirit, through Jesus, the Word, the living Word of God, will all open up to reveal what His plan for your life is. And we should be there to support each other in that. Amen. So, yeah, we conclude there that in that introduction that God has a vision for each and every one of our lives. From the very fall of mankind, He had a plan for the world as a whole, but He also unfolds a plan for each of us. And we can see examples in the Old Testament and the New Testament of how God had plans for specific people. And we can read their stories when we do our own private studies. You know, whether it's Noah, what was God's plans for his life? Build a boat. Yeah. We can read about Abraham. God had a plan for his life. Moses, David, Paul, they all in the Bible, it spelled out what God wanted them to do, and it also spells out how they did it, how they achieved it, how they succeeded, and in some cases, how they failed. But we can learn from each and every one of those in our own lives. Most did succeed in following God's vision and God's plan for their lives, but many fell short. Yeah, Paul, we read that he ran the race and he poured himself out right until the very end, and we can read about that in 2 Timothy chapter 4 as he summarizes his life. John the Baptist, he succeeded, but he ended up in jail, and then his head was served up on a platter, but he completed what he was sent to do. Mary and Joseph, they did what they were called to do. They were the vessels by which Jesus came to this earth. You know, Mary did most of the work, as always. Joseph was just a hanger-on. In the Old Testament, Joseph had dreams. It was unfolded what he was to do, but he didn't know how it was going to happen. But at the end of the day, he said to his brothers, you know, what you did, you wanted for harm, but God wanted it for good. Amen? So when we're going through times of trouble in our lives, yeah, remember, all things work together for the good of those that believe. Joseph had hard times. We'll all have hard times. Being a believer isn't necessarily a rosy, clear-cut path. We have our struggles. Elijah, Joshua and Caleb, they all had calls on their lives and they went to achieve it. But many of them fell short. They achieved, by and large, what God wanted them to do, but they had their little waverings along the way. Old Noah, he succumbed to the odd drink or two. He made babies with his daughters, which probably wasn't the best thing in the world to do. Abraham, well, he lied a little bit because he was scared that he might get, you know, killed by Pharaoh because of his wife being so beautiful. So he did that, and he did go his own way a few times, but by and large, he stuck on to what he did. You know, he sort of thought, Sarah's a bit old to make a baby for me, so I'll go off with Hagar. He tried to do it in his own strength, but by God's grace, he came round, and we have the lineage that leads to Jesus, because God had a vision for Abraham and his seed. Moses, well, you know, he took the people out of Israel, out of Egypt, and led them to the very border of what's now Israel, the promised land. But he lost his cool. He wasn't obedient. When God said, speak to that stone and let water come forth, he didn't do that. He just lost his rag and he hit it with his staff like he did before. But God was telling him to do something different. And because of a little bit of disobedience, well, he didn't fulfill the full call, which was to lead the people into the promised land. David, well, he's a bit of a character. Looking forward to meeting him in heaven. Yeah, he went all over the place, didn't he? He had his ups, he had his downs, he had his followers, and he had the people that wanted to do him harm. But when it all was said and done, he was referred to as a man after God's own heart. Amen. How would you like to be called a man or a woman after God's own heart? We just prayed, we exalt you. Well, that's what we're created primarily to do, to exalt God and fulfill his call that he has on each one of our lives. But Paul, he ran the race, he poured himself out, and he submitted completely to God. You know, he was at one end of the spectrum hating Christians, and then at the other end, he's the one that led the establishment of the modern church. Yeah, amen. What a call to have on your life. You know, so as I said, I'm preaching to myself as much here as to you, because I don't know what God wants me to do next. I know it's not going to be easy. There's going to be challenges, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be one enjoyable ride, because when you're following what God wants you to do, it's fun. It's exciting. It takes you to crazy places. You meet different people. You eat different foods. But you see people saved. You lay hands on the sick and you see them healed. You cast out demons. You make disciples. And you see God's kingdom increase, which is what we all want to see in Cairns. Yeah? Amen? Amen. Okay, so we hear a lot of teaching, as I said, about submitting to God. But what are we submitting to? What your submission has to be. It's got to be in line with what God's asking you to do. You know, if he's asking you to go to medical school, you're not going to bimble off and become a plumber or vice versa. Nothing wrong with either of those trades or professions. But it's all about obedience to God. What talents has he given you? What is he given you in your heart? What do you enjoy doing? Chances are that's what he's calling you to do, so long as it's in line with God's word. Amen? Okay, so we know that we're saved. Yeah, we get a lot of preaching that says, brother, sister, you're saved, hallelujah. But what's next? What's next? You know, no one put their hands up to say, yes, I know exactly what God wants me to do. So I guess we're all wondering a little bit in our hearts, what's next? I want to do more for you, Lord. I exalt you and I want to be in service for you. I want to achieve you. I want to go before you and I want you to say to me, well done, my good and faithful servant, when we go to visit him up in heaven. Amen? Is that all of our desire? Yeah, and as we go through life, you know, we sometimes think we're not impacting on anybody else. But you sort of think, who did I come into contact with on a day-to-day basis? When we get to heaven, we're going to say to God, well, what did I do? And he's not going to condemn us because we didn't do everything he wanted us to do. Maybe we go astray or whatever. But we touch people's lives everywhere we go, and we've got to make sure it's in a godly way, not an ungodly way. And I'm sure we're going to go up to God and say, well, Who did I influence? Who did I impact? And he's going to turn around and these are all the people. And you go, oh, I don't know, this person at the shop, at the counter, this person in the bus, this person at church, this person out in Cairns Central, this person at the beach. I helped this guy with his fishing. I helped this person with their car. We don't know whose lives we're going to impact in when we're going about on our day-to-day basis. But one thing is for sure. God has got a plan for us. And if there's a plan, it's good to be knowing what that plan is and then ordering our lives accordingly. If you know what God wants you to do, you can make decisions in your life. You know, if people are asking you to do one thing, you can say, well, yes, it's a good thing you're asking me to do, but it's not really what God's call on my life is. It doesn't really align. And it's the same in business when we're doing that. If we have a strategic plan for our business, good opportunities and things can come up. But the question is it a distraction? Or is it taking you to where that strategy is taking you? And it's the same with walking in God's ways, going for what God wants for your life. If he's telling you to do, like say, medical school or teacher training or plumber apprentice or baker's apprenticeship, you know that the decisions that you make are in line with that. Because if he's asking you to be a baker, he wants you to be a glorious baker doing unto Christ the baking. He knows in his plan he's going to put you into contact people which are going to further the kingdom. And you may only be a baker for a couple of years after your apprenticeship and then you end up being a business owner or doing something completely different. Because one thing is for sure, when God sets you off on a plan, that's not your plan for the whole of your life. If God told us exactly what he wanted us to do in our entirety of our lives, we would never start. So it's small steps, it's little journeys. You know, do this. So some people this week, they've got their results from their OPs. They've finished grade 12, a step completed. In a few weeks' time, they'll be getting their offers for university. They'll be getting their apprenticeship started. They'll be starting on the next phase of their life. And so it is with God. one thing at a time, and it grows and grows and grows. Amen? And that's it is. So you can think back, you think, what have I done? It doesn't matter whether you're the oldest person in this room or the youngest person in this room. God has got a plan for you. And you're doing steps now that will take you on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing for God. And there's, yeah, you look back and we can see how things have unfolded. But when we try to look forward, we get confused. We get frightened. Fear rises up. But we're people of faith. So we come back to old Abraham. God had a plan for Abraham. And we can read about that in Genesis 12, verses 1 to 4. So the Lord said to Abraham, leave your country. There's a few of us here who's done that. Who's left their country? Well, that's about half the church here. We're in good company there. We're obedient. God somewhere set in our heart to leave our country. Leave your land, your people, your father's household, and go to a land that I will show you. We did that many years ago. We came here in 1989, and God said on Carol and my heart, this is where you're going to live. And then it took another 6 years before we actually moved to Cairns, or actually longer before we came to Cairns, 97, so 21 years we've been here, nearly. I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Hey, that's a good call on your life, isn't it? Yeah, leave where you are, and I'm going to make you a blessing. How do you equate those two? I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So we're blessed because of him. We're blessed because of his obedience. God said, leave your country, and he went. If he'd stayed at home, maybe we wouldn't have entered into his blessing. Or maybe we'd be reading the Bible about another character because God would have chosen someone else to do Abraham's role. But Abraham was obedient. Or in that time, his name was actually Abram. So he left as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old. So who's under 75 here? Well, that's most of us. So we've got no excuses, have we? If Abraham can leave his home at 75 and start a new life for God, what are we all waiting for? He set off and he went to Haran. Okay. So Abraham was obedient. And together with God, they fulfilled the plan that God opened up before him. And that's reassuring because we've not got to do it on our own. When God says, go and do something, he says, I'm coming with you. And we know because Jesus sent us the Comforter, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. He sends us on a commission, not a mission. It's not mission impossible, it's commission possible. God sent us. A commission means a mission with somebody else, and that somebody else is the Holy Spirit. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? We cannot fail because nothing is impossible for God. And he's not going to ask us to do something that we're not equipped for, although we may think that we're not equipped for it. Surprisingly, he knows better. Amen. Amen. So have you got a vision for your life? Have you got something burning in your heart that you'd like to do? Well, I'm waiting for the, yeah! Waiting for something. So who's got a vision for their life? Something, a seed of something. It doesn't have to be something big. It can be something small. Yeah, James and Chris. Yeah, I've got something in my heart that I want to do, and I know I want to be obedient to God, but we have to just see what he wants me to do. Do it together with Carol this time. Been off on my own for a while. 19 months in Nepal is a long time. Interesting, but long. Okay, Proverbs 29, verse 18. Depending what version of the Bible you have, it states that where there is no vision, the people will perish, or the people will cast off constraint. So depending which way you look at it, it means basically, if you haven't got a vision for what you're going to do, well, you haven't got any focus in your life. You could get up to mischief. You wander around. You waste your time. And we're only on this planet for a few short years. Some of us used up a few more years than others. But we want to make every minute count. If you've got no focus, you tend to be aimless. How many people have gone through a Saturday or a Sunday thinking, what shall I do? Not too sure. Then by the time you get to the end of the day, you think, well, I actually did nothing. Sunday's good because you can always come to church. So that's you can come and do something. Or if you're listening to this in Nepal, it's Saturday you can come to church. Yeah, not because of Seventh-day Adventists, but that's the day that they do things because that's their one day off. Hey, so God doesn't want people to perish. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be productive. Even when we read about the creation, as Joe led us through there this morning in the Garden of Eden, he placed us in the Garden of Eden to be fruitful, to be productive. He gave us dominion over the world. He gave us all authority over the world. And yet we threw it away at the fall when Adam and Eve took of the forbidden fruit. So because God wants us to be fruitful and flourish, he gives us dreams, he gives us visions. He wants us to have a life and to live that life abundantly. There is a dream, a plan, and a vision for each and every one of you. Myself, for Carol, for Joe. It's a pity we haven't got the Corrie and the people here, because Corrie and what was the other name this morning? It was like girls all with the same name from university. Yeah, so it'd be a lot easier. But whether you're Chris or whether you're a John or a Charlie or a Mary or whatever, God has got a plan for you. He's got a dream, a vision. Jeremiah 29:11, it's a bit of a cliche verse, but it says, "For I know I have plans for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." I won't say this verse is a cliche. It means they get chucked around quite a lot. People use them. And it's important that we don't use any of God's word flippantly, because it has deep meaning. It's a promise. Sometimes it's a promise that's just outright given. Sometimes it's conditional. If you do this, then I will do that. You know, submit to me, being God. Resist the devil and he will flee. That's a good one to hold on to, because as we go about trying to fulfill God's call on our lives, the devil's going to try and stop us. He'll play around. So we have to be submissive to God to fulfill the call that he has on our lives. And in that, we know that we have the full authority of God and the devil will flee. So how do we know what dreams and visions there are for us? You know, we hear about to be obedient to the life that God is calling us to. But what is he calling us to? You know, you may have a desire or a passion to do something, but that's sometimes different from a vision. You know, we like to tinker with cars, we like to do sewing, we like to do all sorts of things, but is God actually calling us to do that? You know, they're the fun things in life. But sometimes there are skills that we're good at that we can use for God's purposes. It might be teaching, it might be caring, it might be administration, it might be technical. There's things that we can do. And we're not always doing them in a way that we think it's for God, but whatever we do it as if it is to God. So if we've got mechanical skills, maybe we can help someone change the brakes in their car and they save a few dollars because we've got the skill and they've got the need. We can fulfill that need. And just in the Bible, it tells us, "When did I give you a drink, Lord?" And he said, "Oh, whenever you gave someone a drink that was thirsty, whenever you fed someone that was hungry, you did that to me." So it's our practical skills and abilities. But that's not necessarily a call. That's just something we do as we go about our day-to-day business, ministering to people from the very nature of ourselves. So a vision from God is usually very clear and very concise, as in with Abraham. He said, "Go and leave your country, leave your father, leave your people, and then I will make you a blessing." He gave him some very clear instructions. With Noah, he said to him, "I want you to build a boat, this big, this wide, this tall, this long." And no one had seen a boat before, but he followed those instructions. Moses, he said, "I want to take the people out of Egypt. Go." So he's very, very clear in a lot of instructions that he gives. With Moses as well, as they're wandering around in their disobedience, he still gave clear instructions to Moses on how to build the tabernacle. This much cloth, this long, these posts, these little claws, these rings, the minutest detail. So he's going to do that for Moses and Noah. Isn't he going to do the same for you? Yeah. So we may get confused, we may get frightened by God's call on our lives, but when he's asking us to do something, he will guide us in a very clear and concise way. Yeah. We may see a dream, it may be a technicolor dream, like a movie of exactly our life unfolding for God. But that's sort of a bit rare. But hallelujah, people experience it. You know, it's amazing what they do, what they see, and how they go on in their lives because they know exactly what they've got to do. It may be a prophetic message from somebody speaking into your lives. You know, if you read in the Word of God in your daily devotion, something may jump out at you. You know, maybe you're you know, you're a brilliant cook, and God's talking to you about feeding the hungry. Well, how can you put the two together? There's many organizations that feed the hungry, both here and overseas. You may be a fantastic administrator. You read about Nehemiah. He's a project manager And that God uses different skills for different things, and he usually places people at the right place at the right time to meet the right people. Even with Esther, for such a time as this, Mordecai said. And that is for us. We should be prepared, ready to go with what God calls us to do. So we might have just a task to do for God, or he may paint a broad picture. The broad picture may be something that takes many, many years, like 100 years to build the ark, or 40 years to lead people around the desert. Or it may just be to do an activity. It was a carol service tonight at Yarrabar. It just may be that task is to do the sausage sizzle or to help carry the equipment or something. I don't know. There's many things, but it's all about obedience, what God is asking you to do. Because once you've been obedient in one thing, he'll add something else in, and it will grow and grow and grow. And then after 5, 10, 15 years, you'll look back and you'll see, ooh, how did I get here? Or wherever here is, whatever you're doing. Amen. Now, I'm sure when Pastor Bill and Corrie started the church in Port Moresby, they didn't plan out to have an enormous church with Pastor Rodney up there still going 20-odd years later. They just went up there to strum the guitar in the marketplace, and the rest is history. Amen. Hallelujah. And praise God for all of that. But that can happen in every one of our lives. But it doesn't have to be a big thing. We're not asked, all of us, to do a big thing. Most of us are asked just to do small things. But it's the level of our obedience. You're either obedient to God or you're not. It's like you're either pregnant or you're not. There's no halfway house. You know, you can't meander around some of these things. You either believe in God or you don't. You can't, oh, I kind of believe in Jesus. You either do or you don't. And that's it, is in obedience. So our measure of our success is not about how big the task is. It's about how obedient we are to his call. And we have to just be attentive to what that call is. So as I said, it might be a passion in your heart that is driving you towards something. And if God's calling you that way, he'll confirm it. Someone will, in a prayer meeting, they'll confirm it. And your heart will go, yeah. Your spirit will jump. There'll be a word in the Bible that will confirm what you're doing is the right thing. It'll all confirm that. So when you're seeking God, pray to God first. You know, reveal to me what it is that you want me to do. You know, we could sing a hymn, or there's an old one. You know, I submit all. Well, what are we submitting to? And that is, so, Lord, give me a clear vision of what it is you want to do. Give me a word. Give me some encouragement, just so that I can get an understanding of what it is you want me to do. I don't want to waste my time on this planet. Maybe 19 months in Nepal was a waste of time. I don't think it was, because I managed to do some different things in ministry. And it'll all become clear when I go upstairs. I'm like, oh, that's what I didn't do. That's what I was supposed to do. Or that's what I did, you know. So, you know, I learned one thing. When people said, can you come and teach here? You never said no. You said, oh, okay. You're always prepared in season and out of season to go where people want. So whether it was a youth conference or a Sunday service, I made myself available. And that's the way it should be. You know, when God's asking you to do something that you know it's in line with your call, jump at it. Don't look for the excuses. Don't let the devil take it away from you. And that, so when you got that vision from God, one thing's for sure, if you're obedient to it, you're guaranteed to succeed. Adhere and stick to what God's asking you to do. We have natural abilities to achieve things, but supernaturally we can do even more. Yeah, if it's a vision from God, he's guaranteeing our success because he's asking us to do it, and he's not going to ask us to fail. He's asking us to go and try and do what he's asked us to do. And we may succeed or we may not, but we're going to learn something along the way that will take us on to greater things in his kingdom. And the way that God's kingdom works is he produces a multiplication, so we're going to impact the kingdom in one way or another. May not be how we expect it, but it's going to be in one way. And it's accredited to us. It's all part of what we do down here goes to our reward when we go to heaven, however that reward system works. But I believe it's all about our obedience to him, not the nature of the call. So what we have to do, the first thing we have to do is believe in the call of God. Believe in the vision he's given us. When Joseph saw that vision, he believed it. He told it to his brothers, and his brothers believed it too. So they beat him up and threw him in a hole. They liked his vision so much. But we didn't see for maybe 20 or 30 years how that would unfold. But it did. It came to pass. Paul was shown what he had to do. You know, Lord, who are you? And he says, well, why do you persecute me, Paul? And you shouldn't really be doing that, should you? And he goes, ah, no, maybe not. And his life was turned around. He had the call. He shared that call with King Agrippa. He shared his testimony, how on the road to Damascus, he was met by Jesus, who pulled up the reins on him and said, "What the heck are you doing, man? You've got all these skills and abilities. You're a Pharisee of Pharisees. You've got all the legal knowledge. You know the Bible inside out," such as it was back then, the Old Testament as we know it. "You shouldn't be using that. You know, this, what you know is declaring me, and you're persecuting me." And he's going, "You've got a point there." And then he became the greatest evangelist that's probably ever been on this planet. And we all aspire to be as good as him. Yeah, so we have to believe that God has given us a clear vision, and we have to have the faith that it can be achieved. We have to look at the vision like we've got perfect physical vision. We have to have perfect spiritual vision. So we go to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 20:20. You know, when we go to the optician and get our eyes tested, if we've got perfect vision, he says you've got 20/20 vision. This is a good verse. 2020 vision. "Have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful." Well, that's a great promise to have, isn't it? Slightly different version there, so I'm not sure which version that is, but it amounts to the same thing. We will prosper, we will be successful. Believe in the prophets and we will be upheld by believing in God. Well, that was written before Jesus was around. So now we have Jesus and we have the Holy Spirit floating around. Back then, the Holy Spirit was on one person at a time, generally. When you read the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would be on one person. The anointing would be on them. And then that job would be done, or that person would fall out of the anointing and the anointing would move over as the Holy Spirit would go to somebody else. From Saul to David is a prime example. But today, the Holy Spirit is there for each and every one of us at the same time. He doesn't go to Joe, then come to me, and then go to Chris, and go to Carol, and so on and so forth. He's there for each and every one of us. As a believer, we have access to the full authority of Jesus, the full power of the Holy Spirit. We can act in all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We want to lay hands on the sick? We can lay hands on the sick. He doesn't say go to Bible college for 6 years and forget about the passion you have in your heart, the compassion you have for the sick people. Just lay hands on the sick, a simple prayer. Be healed in the name of Jesus. By the authority of Jesus, your sickness, you have no welcome. Go. That's all we have to do. We have that authority. We have the power to prophesy. Not in our own name, but in the name of Jesus. We can have words of knowledge. We can operate in all of the gifts of the Spirit. We just have to pray for God, by his grace, to let us operate them in the appropriate time. They're there for us to help us in our ministry. As we read earlier, fully equipped. God's word, we are fully equipped. We have all power and all authority. And that. So we have to have the faith and we will be upheld. And we will have the success in God's call for our life. So what is faith? Another cliche verse. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Off the cuff, but deep meaning. Deep meaning indeed. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. Well, what we hope for is the vision of God's, that God's got on our lives, God's call on our life. So we have to have the faith that God is calling us to do what we believe he is calling us to do. It's his vision for your life. It's his vision for my life. And being certain of what we do not see. Well, that's the physical outcome of what we've been called to do. When God calls us to do something, he's not calling us to do something that's already been done. He's calling us to do something different. Today I'm going to do a different thing. You learn new skills, you meet new people. What's God wanting you to do with those skills? What's he wanting you to say into that person's life? Chances are in this wonderful country we live in, that person is not saved. You know, we're in a safe environment here. I guess most of us are saved in here. But when we go out on the streets, as soon as we go out that door, we're entering into the mission field. Most people we meet are not saved. Many of them have got a bit of a background knowledge about who God is, who Jesus is. A lot of it is polluted, it's misconceived. And some people can be just confused in the whole matter about who Jesus is. But we know that from the fall of mankind, God has a plan through Jesus for the redemption of mankind. And his will is that none shall be lost. And we each have a role to play in seeing that who people we come into contact are either saved or they're built up, they're encouraged, and the God's kingdom is increased. So we have to be obedient to the vision. We have to understand that vision. We need to see it. We have to have it in our mind's eye. We have to have the faith that it can be achieved. And we have to see that it's happened. Not in our own strength, but in the strength of God. And we have to be obedient to that vision. As I said earlier, Paul with King Agrippa, he shared that vision that he had on his life. Paul shared his testimony, and, you know, he shared the gospel, as we are all told to do. But King Agrippa did what most people did. Oh, I'm nearly convinced, but you haven't quite convinced me, Paul. It's God's good for you, but not really a thing for me. But Paul says, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. He was obedient to it. Paul goes on to describe in 2 Timothy 4, as I said earlier, in verse 6, I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So who here longs for Jesus' appearing? So that crown of righteousness, the rewards, they're for each and every one of us. But we have to run the race as Paul did. We have to understand what God's call is on our lives. As on Wednesday with Steve Grace, one of the things he said in his message was, what's God asking you to do? What's the vision for your life? As the seasons are changing within the church, in our lives, what is God calling us to do? And I thought that's a great entry into today. And Joe again this morning saying that Christmas is part of God's plan for mankind, and we know that God's plan for mankind includes a plan for each and every one of us. So everything leads in together. Even looking back at past podcasts, I think beginning of November, Joe did one on what's God calling you to do, or focus. I think you just come back from Napanum or somewhere, and you're talking about God's focus for your life. About a month ago, Pastor Ben, he was talking on you're preordained or predestined. And it all ties together. Why does it all tie together? Because God has got a call on your life. And the Bible here is telling you. This tells about God's plan from Genesis to Revelation for the whole of mankind. But as we read through the Bible, it's helping us with God's call on our life. It's encouraging us. Every page breathes a word of encouragement, a word of purpose for each one of us. It may not talk about specifics, but you can apply it to what you feel God is calling you to do. So no matter whether the oldest or the youngest person, as I said before, God has got a call on your life. He's not done with you yet. When I was doing a youth conference in the Tarai area of Nepal a few months ago, there was a pastor there. He became a Christian in the 50s, just after Nepal started opening up. And he was still going strong. He'd planted churches in the mountain areas. The church was bubbling there. The church in Nepal is growing. It's growing strong. But this guy who was in his 80s, he could have sat down and put his feet up. But no, he was still going on. He was still encouraging us. And during the meeting, he came up and he said a word, and then we had a prophetic word for him. Yeah, we were talking about encouragement there for the church. And then a prophetic word came out for him on what he was to do next. And this is a guy that's to, you know, if he was in Australia, he'd be looking at retirement. But for God, there is no retirement. Because when you do one thing for God, he asks you to do something else, to do something else, to do something else. There's only one person in the Bible that gets to put their feet up, and that's Jesus Christ. Because after he died, he rose, he ascended into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. Because it is finished. The completed work of God on the cross. Amen. So we have no right to sit down. Hey, it's good, isn't it? God's word is fun. So we have to put action behind our vision. You know, if we know God's calling us to do something, you know, Pastor Ben gives me a call. You know, I've just come back to Australia. I'd like to put my feet up, get acclimatized, get Nepal out of my lungs because there's a lot of dust and so forth. I get a little message. Oh, can you preach on Sunday night, Tim? I say, no. Now, of course I didn't, because many, many years ago, I used to say no. But now I know to be prepared in season and out of season. I said, yeah, of course I'll do it, Ben. I'd love to. It's a privilege. It's an honor to come back and share with my friends here. I've been away for a long time and I want to share with you. There'll be testimonies that come out and a bit of what I've been doing overseas as the weeks and months go on. But it's more important now. I'm seeking to see what God wants me to do next, and I want God to let you know what you've got to do next. Then we can all do it together. Amen. So we put the action in. When God gives us an inkling, we have to take that first step. Noah had to build an ark. Well, if you're looking at the word for today this week, there was a nice lot about that. Do what God's telling you. And traditionally, the Jews say that the first thing Noah did was planted some trees. Because if he had to build a boat, he had to have some wood to do it with. So that's not in the Bible, that's tradition. But he had to get the wood from somewhere. But he took the first step and everybody laughed at him. But he kept going for 100 years to build this boat. And we're all here because of that. Amen. Thank you, Noah. Joseph, well, he held tight to his vision and dreams and ended up running Egypt. Moses, well, you know, he achieved Moses' vision. He took people out of Egypt and brought them to the edge of Israel. But most importantly, it's a hard slog to achieve what God wants us to do. Yeah, Moses spit the dummy a few times. He said, "Oh, God, these people are really pulling it there." And Jethro came up and said to him, "Well, son," and he wasn't even a Christian, so a non-Christian is giving a believer in God advice, and this person is speaking to God himself, but a non-believer comes along and says, "Well, son," or son-in-law, "you got too much of a burden here. You want to delegate. You know, pick out your tens, your hundreds and that. Share the workload." So there's people along there to encourage us. Barnabas, he was a great encourager in the New Testament. So we should be like Barnabas is. We should encourage each other. The call on Joe's life or Chris's life or Carol's life may not be the same as, well, I hope Carol's call is the same as mine because we want to do it together. But yeah, the call on somebody's life may not be the same as your call. But you have got no right to talk their call down. You don't know what God's saying to them. So you should be there to encourage them. It's the same Holy Spirit talking to them as it is to you. You can say a prophetic word into their life. You can support what they're doing. You can encourage them. You know, when Paul first went off with Mark on the first missionary trip, Mark did not perform. Bit of a slacker, not pulling his weight. Paul spat the dummy and he said, "Mark, you're out of here." But Barnabas said, "Paul, calm down." You know, these two guys split up over it and they went their different ways. But because of that, the gospel spread and proliferated around the world, which is fantastic. So God uses all things for his purposes. But they encouraged Mark. Barnabas said, "Mark's okay, you know, a little bit of nurturing and that. He may not be able to play a 6-string guitar. He's only used to 4, but, you know, a little bit of practice and he'll be there. We know what those other 2 strings are for. Isn't that right, Joe? It's great sound. We've got a world-class music team up here, and I've been to lots of different places around the world, but world-class and that. So you've got to encourage people. But what did Paul say in one of his last letters that he wrote? He wrote back to the church in Jerusalem. He said, "Send me Mark." If 20 or 30 years ago they'd kicked Mark out, what would have happened? But he said, "Send me Mark," because Barnabas encouraged him. Each one of us needs encouraging at different times. So we should stand alongside our brothers and sisters, whether they're older, younger, more intelligent, more better equipped, or got a greater vision than us. They should be encouraged. And we have a duty in the Lord Jesus to encourage each other. Amen? Amen. So when we get the vision from God, we should share it. Because how can people encourage us if we do not know if other people's visions are? And Habakkuk 2:2 tells us a lot about that. It says, get a vision from God. Write it down so it's clear. Proclaim the vision to other people so they can understand what's on your heart. And it will surely come to pass. Might not be today, might not be tomorrow, but it will come to pass. In Habakkuk chapter 1, Habakkuk was pouring out his heart, spitting the dummy to God, as a lot of these people in the Bible did, and we all probably do the same thing. They say, "Well, what's going on, God? All the unrighteous people are doing well. How come I'm not doing well? How come the righteous people are not doing well?" And God says, "Easy, boy, easy. I have a plan. I have a plan." That plan has been in place since Genesis, since the fall. And it's mapped out all the way through to Revelation. And my part in it is for you to write this vision down now, make it clear to the people, and it will come to pass. And we see in the Bible, as we read out what Habakkuk wrote out, did indeed come to pass. And as I said, we get our visions in different ways, but the principles are the same thing. It's God's vision for our lives. Write it down, share the vision, encourage each other in that vision, pray for each other. We want to be a praying church. Yeah, we are a praying church. Saturday, Wednesday, at home, together, on our own, a praying church. Prayer is the powerhouse of the fulfillment of visions. Obedience is the powerhouse of fulfillment of the visions and the plans. Yeah. So Habakkuk 2, verses 2 and 3. Write down the vision for your life. As we're coming towards the end of 2017, you know, seasons change in our lives, seasons change in the church. We should be there. We should be asking God, you know, what are you seeking from us? What do you want us to do? What do you want us to achieve? You know, We're coming into a new year. It's a time, I personally don't believe in that. One day is not any different from another. It's just all part of that fun journey that we're on. You know, and a dot on the calendar makes no difference. And I know that because, like, hey, when's our new year? First of January. Had to think about that one for a while. In Nepal, the Buddhist New Year, somewhere around the 13th of April. So get two New Years if you live in Nepal. The Buddhist and the Hindu New Year. But then you've got the other tribal groups. They've got about six New Years in Nepal. So what's the New Year make a difference? Are you going to sit around for the next New Year, or are you just going to get up now and enter into that mission field? You know, what, you know, if you miss the boat on the 1st of January, you're going to wait a whole year before you take the other opportunity to turn your life around? No, let's do it now. Let's do it today. Let's see what happens. And that, so we're, you know, people, once we move in a vision, people are attracted to it. So if it's something that we need other people to do, if they see you're going forward, they'll come and join you if their vision is aligned. You know, there's power, there's motivation, there's momentum, all these sorts of things all come together. But above all, it's the Holy Spirit, because it's God's vision for your life. And like the vision, we have to think it's not our vision, it's God's vision. So God is giving you that vision, and it's up to us to be obedient to it. If we ignore the vision, God is calling you because there is a task that he wants done. There's a job he wants done. So if we ignore it, he may well go and choose someone else to do that thing. And if you see them going off to achieve what you know that you've been asked to do, how heartbreaking would that be? Gee, I should have done that. Gee. But there's no condemnation in God, as we know, because that's one of the key verses of our church. There is no condemnation for those that believe. Romans 8:1. Yeah? Remember? There's no condemnation. So if you miss the boat on one call, one vision from God, he'll come with another one for you. So we just have to tune our ear to the Holy Spirit, and then we can step out in faith and boldness to fulfill that. So basically, to conclude and draw this together, I thought, yeah, it's probably about right now. Mind you, Joe did go for only 15 minutes this morning, so maybe I can scooch a bit of time from them, you know, move it forward, and we move it from the morning to the evening. I haven't got anything to do till 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, so, yeah. 10 o'clock tonight will be okay. No, we'll do that because there's food up there, and we want to honour the work that Judith and the hospitality team do, and we have to honour your buttocks as well, because the mind can only endure what the bottom can suffer. Isn't that right? Amen. So to conclude with, I'll just bring this down. So challenge yourselves, each one of you. And again, I say I'm preaching to myself as well. I want to know what God's going to do next. I've had a ball in Nepal. It almost rhymes. I could do a poem on that. The saddest thing about it is that I wasn't there with Carol. She came to visit me this time last year, which was fantastic. I came home at Easter for a little bit. But, you know, things haven't unfolded quite how we thought, but God's got a plan. I just want to know what he's doing next. So I'm preaching to myself and I'm preaching to you. So as I pray for you, you pray for me, and we can all find out what God wants us to do. And 2018 will be a fantastic year on top of the next 3 weeks of December, because we've still got this time. You know, on Facebook, there's, oh, the year gone by. And I'm thinking, hang on, there's still another month here. What are you talking about, man? I haven't wiped out 2017 yet. It's still a good one. So challenge yourself. What does God want you to do now? What does he want you to do in 2018? As we enter into this new season for the church, what does God want us to do for ourselves in his call for our life? What does he want us to do for our family, and what does he want us to do for our church? We want to receive the vision from God, and we want to seek confirmation. So if we got something in our heart, you know, are we going to get a prophetic word from someone else that will confirm it, see something in the Bible? I've got a few things bubbling away in my mind, and I keep coming up with the same things in the Bibles and the daily readings. Even pick up a book from last year, you open it up, and it's confirming, and you're thinking, oh, gee, okay, well, maybe I don't have to look for six different options and line it up. Perhaps God's already telling me what to do. Be obedient to God. Sit back, wait, and do a few things. But we shall see what happens. We shall see indeed. It's going to be a new chapter for each and every one of us, I know. Amen? Because if it's not, something's wrong with our lives, because we should be moving forward. If we're not moving forward, we're stagnating. If we're not moving forward, we're not growing. And we all want to grow in the Word of God. We want to be off the milk and onto the meat and learning good things, eh? We want to be teaching others, making disciples, laying hands on the sick and seeing them healed and baptizing. Joe wants to do another baptism service before the end of the year, so let's have some new converts to baptize. Yeah, we don't want to re-baptize people. We want to do new ones. We don't want to service a car. We want a nice new car. Yeah, amen. A new Christian. So let's have some babies in Christ in this church. Amen. And we can disciple, and we can encourage, and we can lift them up, because they have got a call on their lives. Even now, God uses people that are unbelievers. You know, he used Pharaoh. He used Nebuchadnezzar. He used Herod to fulfill his purposes. How much more can he use a person that is a believer? Once you believe in Jesus, you're entering into that first thing of fulfilling God's role for your life, his vision, his plan for your life. You can't fully enter into his purposes unless you believe in him first. Otherwise, you're just blindly going through life. We want to be successful for Jesus. We don't want to go through this 70 years or however many we're allotted not to achieve anything for God, that is, you know, because we can't take anything with us. You know, we can have fun while we're here. We can enjoy each other's company, but we don't take it with us. We have to build our reward up in heaven. We have to help increase his kingdom. So we have to receive the vision, confirm the vision, be encouraged by others in the vision, and we have to share that vision so they can encourage us. Don't go, what's happening in your life? Oh, nothing. What have you learned from the Bible this week? Let's share and discuss those things. You know, what have you learned? Brother, look, I found this. And even, you know, I'm a old Christian. Not an old person, but I'm an old Christian. Not a baby Christian. But even I open up the Bible, I read something. I was like, oh, gee, I'd never... Someone edited this since I read it. Sort of like, there's always new stuff to find out because we're growing and we see things with different eyes. We have different needs in our lives and God reveals things to us. And it's amazing. You can read it. I've read the Bible backwards and forwards many, many times, but I always come up with something. I must have fallen asleep when I read that bit because I didn't see that before. Okay, so we share the vision, we're encouraged, we're obedient to the vision, and we will achieve the vision. And so the cycle goes on. The cycle goes on. We achieve one thing for God. We may not even complete that thing for God because he will reveal the next thing to us. And we may start here going in that direction. He'll take us off there. But he knows exactly where he wants us to be. He knows the end from the beginning. We just have to be bold in the faith to do it. Yeah. So we just have to be obedient, be bold, have faith, and just keep doing the same thing for God. He gives us the talents, he gives us the abilities, he gives us supernatural abilities. What more could we ask for apart from, dear Lord, what do you want me to do with all of that? So we say, be bold, be strong, because the Lord your God is with you. So first of all, we have to just say, if you want to enter into the fullness of what God has for your life, you have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So is anybody that sort of thought, well, maybe... I'm not sure, but now I am. If anybody wants to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, certainly would like to share that prayer, as would the prayer team, with you. We'd like you to take that step, that first step to achieving God's call on your life, because God's written call in his word is that none shall be lost, that all should be saved. So if anybody would like to come forward for prayer in that area, fantastic. But in the meantime, if we all know what God wants us to do in our lives, we've got not much else to say, really, have we? But I know because you didn't put your hands up. So let's just all stand together and pray for God to reveal to each one of us over the coming days as we celebrate the birth of Jesus and think about his death and his resurrection and God's plan for the redemption of the world. What is it you want me to do, God? You've got it all sussed. You've done your bit because you said it is finished, but I've got stuff to do. I want you to come back, Lord, and I want to play a part in your coming back. So, hey, Jesus, let's just lift our hands before him and just cry out to him, Lord, together. Not just me praying, but each one of you from your heart, just pray out, Lord, Lord, what is it you want me to do? As Samuel heard the voice of God, Eli told him to say, Lord, Lord, here I am. Reveal to yourself what you want me to do, Lord. Oh, Lord, you've already equipped each one of us in different ways to do different things. Your word says we're all part of the same body, but we have different functions to do. None is greater and none is lesser, Lord. It's all down to our obedience in you, Lord. Lord, we want to do great things for you. We want to do simple things for you. We want to make a difference for your kingdom, Lord, and we want to make a difference in this city. Lord, just open up our hearts and our minds to receive what it is you want us to do. As you put something in a heart, let there be a confirmation from other sources that will confirm what we're thinking. Let us be directed. Let us be led by the Holy Spirit. Lord, let us be taken on into a great vision, a great calling, Lord. Lord, you give us the generic information here. Going into all the world and make disciples, lay hands on the sick, see them healed, baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, do this in remembrance of me, you say. We do things in honour of you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. Lord, let us do things. Everything that we do, let us do it as unto you, Lord. And as we are obedient to you, just reveal more and more of you what you want us to do. And indeed, even this day, Lord, as people come forward, if anybody wants prayer for salvation, just to say, Lord, yes, I now recognize you as my Lord and Savior. We are happy to pray and minister. If anybody needs healing, as we're commanded to do, lay hands on the sick. The power of the word is spoken, and the word will be honored by healings. The Spirit moves after the word has been spoken. So if anybody wants healing, take the opportunity. Otherwise, I just say thank you. Thank you for listening. I look forward to what's going to happen in each and every one of your lives, hearing your testimonies, hearing what God's going to do in each one of your lives, hearing your struggles, hearing your successes.